Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world. And also to welcome to the show four exciting, talented players who are going to display their verbal wit and ingenuity, their creative, humorous talent as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and as they do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four people are, sitting on my right, Bill Bailey and Tony Hawks, and sitting on my left, Linda Smith and Chris Neal. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Maltings Concert Hall, which is at Snape, near Saxmundham, and not far from Aldborough, and all of those lovely towns in the great, lovely county of Suffolk. And in front of us, we have a real Suffolk audience. As we start the show with Linda Smith. Linda, the subject is What I Dreamt About Last Night. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
What I dreamt about last night is a very unfortunate opening to a sentence, I think. If someone says to me, would you like to hear what I dreamt about last night? I think, no, you're quite boring conscious.
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of think.
Yes.
Oh.
50 seconds, Tony. You got in with a correct challenge, so you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of what I dreamt about last night, starting now.
Bizarrely, what I dreamt about last night was that I was on Just a Minute talking on the subject what I dreamt about last night, which makes this particular period of time a bit weird for me. However, I've...
Bill Bailey challenged.
Hesitate. Deviation.
I'd stick to the first one if I were you. Right. He did hesitate,
yeah.
Bill. So you have a correct challenge, and you have the subject of what I dreamt about last night. You get a point for your correct challenge, of course, and you have 35 seconds available starting now.
What I dreamt about last night was that I entered a pub, a tiny dwelling, very, very small.
That's the natural speech pattern, isn't it?
It is.
Very small. It's very, very small. Right, Chris, you challenge first.
Repetition of very.
Repetition, yeah, yes. So, Chris, we're going to hear from you on this subject, and there are 28 seconds available. What I dreamt about last night, starting now.
I think I may have been in Tony's dream, as I was dreaming about being on Just a Minute last night. In fact, it was taking place on Shaftesbury Avenue in London, not at this very lovely place in... Oh, I've said place. Oh, I've done it again. I'm so honest.
18 seconds. Another point to you, Linda. What I dreamt about last night, starting now.
What I dreamt about last night was horrifying. Nicholas Parsons, crazed with power, decided to take over all the quiz shows on the radio. First of all, he marched on... I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. Humphrey Littleton is now under house arrest. Then he moved in on the news.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Linda Smith. On the end of that round, she has 2 points, and all the rest have only one, but it's early days. Bill Bailey, will you take the next round? The subject is opera, something which we associate with this... I don't know why you're laughing. It's quite a natural thing to say in this part of the world, isn't it? Right. Tell us something about opera, Bill. 60 seconds, starting now.
To many people, opera is the perfect synthesis of music, drama, words and visual spectacle. For others, the Gary Numan concert offers exactly the same thing.
Chris challenged.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. It was.
I do apologise.
You didn't mind, right. I thought what you said was very apt and to the point, but Bill, yeah. Chris, you got in with 49 seconds available to tell us something about opera starting now.
No wonder we've been given this subject in this part of Suffolk, because, of course, here Benjamin Britten and Peter Piers lived. Don't laugh, it's not funny. Anyway, the composer that I alluded to wrote in this very...
In this very what?
Tried to say part, but then I knew that I'd said it before, but I didn't want to do that thing that I always do where I go, I've said it before.
Well,
tried to avoid doing it.
So,
and I was going to teach these people so much about Benjamin Britten.
I think they probably know a bit about him anyway.
Oh, nothing.
Linda. You challenged infinitesimally ahead of Tony, and what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Opera is with you, Linda, and there are 35 seconds available starting now.
The most wonderful thing about the composer that Chris has just mentioned is that in Albra's award-winning chip shop, you can get a Billy Budd supper in commemoration of that very man. It is a marvellous thing, a rather gloomy piece of haddock surrounded by chips carved to resemble...
Bill Challenge.
Chips.
A fish and chip shop. Oh. No, you said no.
But then you'd want more
no,
than...
No, she said chip, fish and chip. No, she wasn't. It was plural.
No, I said chip shop and then chips.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was singular and plural.
But yeah, chips shop.
No, she said chip shop. She said a chip shop.
You don't just
shop.
Get one chip with fish, do you?
No, she was... She called it... She talked about a chip shop. And then she said fish and chips.
Chips shop.
So, opera's still with you, Linda, and there are 18 seconds available starting now.
But apart from the person I alluded to before, opera generally...
Chris Challenge.
A repetition of alluded.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, my child.
Thank you.
Yes, you said he had alluded to Benjamin Britten before.
Right.
Right, so alluded, it can come up again. 15 seconds, he's back with you. Now you said you want to tell them something about it.
Here's your opportunity. I think they may begin to learn.
Yes. Chris, opera, 15 seconds starting now.
Peter Grime.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of Peter.
Because
you said
that's why I went
before.
With Billy Budd.
I know.
And what I had to say was just so interesting.
I know. I was so keen to tell them all about it. But Tony, a correct challenge, so we're playing Just a Minute now. We're not playing opera buffing. 14 seconds, opera with you, starting now.
In opera, sometimes I think they sing too loud. They hit those top...
Bill Challenge.
Repetition of they?
Yeah. They, yes. Yeah. Tough challenge, Bill, but correct.
I'm trying to get everything I get.
I say this, Bill, this is the only second time you've played the game, but you have learned fast.
God bless you.
And you now have 9 seconds to tell us something about opera starting now.
Opera is derived from an old Latin phrase meaning, get on with it!
Bill, having said get on with it, you didn't get
on
with it.
I know, I tried to think what the next phrase was.
I know, right. Having got your laugh, you sort of sat back, and Chris got in with a challenge with 4 seconds. So what was your challenge, Chris?
Hesitation.
Yes, it was. Yeah, 4 seconds. Tell us something about opera starting now.
The Turn of the Screw follows the theme of many of that man's operas. Basically...
Chris Neal speaking as the whistle went, getting that extra point. And he's now in the lead, just ahead of Linda Smith, and he's 3 ahead of Bill Bailey and Tony Hawkes. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is how to choose from the wine list. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Choosing from the wine list seems to be a strangely important part of the ritual of courting. The man will hold the wine list and try to demonstrate enormous knowledge about different wines. If he fails to do so, he will have no sex whatsoever with that lady later in the evening, which is why I have studied for hours, and I know a great deal about many different drinks of white and red colour. Also, rosé, if I really want to impress, but that's another story, and I haven't got time to tell it now, I've only got a minute. Anyway, I was with a group of people who were tasting wine, and...
yeah, Bill, you're challenged.
Yes. Tasting swine.
Well, I was going to go on and explain why they were doing that.
Ah, yeah. Sorry, maybe that was an incorrect challenge.
Yeah.
They were tasting different sorts of pig.
We'll call that in
pig tasting.
Hesitation.
I like a wild boar of an evening.
They were out with me, so they were right.
So, Bill, a correct challenge.
Yeah.
And you have how to choose from the wine list. 19 seconds available starting now.
How to Choose from the Wine List is probably one of the most best-selling books ever written by me.
Linda Challenge.
I thought there was a bit, one of the most best-selling books.
Yes, it was, that's right, one of the most best-selling books.
One of the most best-selling books.
Yes.
It sells even more than some of the others.
Yeah, it was a slight deviation from grammar as we understand it, but on the other hand, one has to keep going under pressure in just a minute, and he's only played the game once before. I think I'd be very mean if I took it away from you. So, Bill, another point.
Oh, I realise Bill's carrying on, because he's clearly got a lot to say on this subject.
Oh, yes.
Just the way you set off there, I'm really anticipating this.
Bill, please, don't bang the table, because it comes over very badly on radio. When we get letters, what
it's
was
like
the...
It's like you're on a school trip, this show.
No. It's even worse when you bang the microphone like that. See, when you're on television...
When you're on going home.
When you're on television in the Buzzcocks, they can see you banging the table. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
in radio, they get a bit confused. They think something more sinister is going on.
Come on, I want to hear what he's got to say. Come on, let's get going.
I want to know what he's going to say, yes. You've got another 12 seconds to tell us how to choose from the wine list, starting now.
Oh, we there. What?
Chris, why have you challenged?
Well, is that deviation?
No.
Well, no, that... No.
Best spot.
That's how he chooses from the wine list. I took it that he was making up his mind. I think I'd be mean if I took it away from your game. Now, 11 seconds, how to choose from the wine list, Bill, starting now.
Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I want to go to the toilet. These are examples
Chris,
of wines.
Chris,
well, this is deviation from how to choose from the wine list.
Yes.
No.
That was a list of wines.
A list of wines. No.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He thinks so.
Right, so you've interpreted the wine in a different way, which is very clever, and the audience enjoyed it. And there are 7 seconds.
That sounds so patronising. That's very clever, and the audience enjoyed it.
Bill, I could never patronise you. You're far too talented.
Oh, God
you
bless
know
you.
That.
God bless you.
If it sounds like that, it is...
You just did it then.
He did it. I would never patronise. I would never talk down to you, Bill.
I only say these things to give you ammunition to come back with your fertile, humorous mind.
Oh. Come on. He's got more to say on the wine list. Come on.
How long have I got?
And you've got 7 seconds on
average. 7 seconds. That could be a lifetime. Right, so.
Starting now.
Oh, haven't we got any crisps or pop? I really want to go. These are examples of wines that could be attributed to a teenager's wine.
A very inventive way to use wine list, and that's not supposed to be patronising. And Bill, with all the other points you've got in there round his main, you've leapt forward. You're in a strong lead. You're three ahead of Linda Smith, 4 of Chris Neal, and 5 of Tony Hawkes. And Linda, your turn to begin. The subject, the North Sea, which isn't very far from here. And you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The North Sea exists largely to remind us how lucky we are to be land mammals. If you've ever seen people trying to swim in the North Sea, you'll understand what I mean. You see poor little children come...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of sea.
No, seen and see.
I know she was seeing C-S-E-E, but it's still the same
fair
sound.
Enough.
You know,
fair enough.
Not
okay,
to words,
I withdraw.
Sound,
I withdraw, I withdraw my challenge.
Yes, right. And Linda, another point to you.
Well
and
done, Linda.
48 seconds starting now.
Regardless of all this bickering, my point is it's bloody freezing in there. You cannot swim in that substance because you see people coming out, they're shivering like mad, their teeth are chattering, their limbs are lavender, they poor little things have got to be resuscitated by...
Chris Challenge.
A repetition of there.
Well, yes, there was
a
lot of...
at the very least.
Their limbs and their something else.
Yes, there was too many theirs, yeah. Right.
Swim as well. I said that twice. Nobody noticed. No. I don't know why I bother sometimes.
No. Chris, a correct challenge. The North Sea's with you. 32 seconds starting now.
There is a player of this game, just a minute, Clement Freud, who told me once that he likes to spend New Year's Day swimming in the sea off Warberswick in the nude. Nice. Anyway...
Tony, you challenged.
Should we all come up next New Year's Day? No, I think he sort of stopped because the thought of it made him unable to carry on.
I think he got such a good laugh he thought he'd retire on it. But it was a definite hesitation. So, Tony, you have 18 seconds. Tell us something about the North Sea starting now.
If there's a North Sea, I think there ought to be an East Sea or a West Sea or a South Sea. But there isn't.
Linda Challenge.
There is a South Sea. It's lovely.
Yeah. It's true.
It's not a sea, but it's just near Portsmouth. It's a town.
It's lovely.
But within the rules of Just a Minute, it's a correct challenge. So, Linda, 10 seconds. Tell us more about the North Sea starting now.
What a wonderful opportunity to tell you all more about the North Sea. I believe I may have covered its salient feature, i.e. a slight deficiency in the temperature department.
Linda Smith was then speaking as the whistle went. They got that extra point, and with others in the round, she has leapt forward. She's now equal Bill Bailey in the lead, and they're 3 points ahead of Chris Neal, and then comes Tony Hawkes. And, Bill, your turn to begin again. The subject, how to change your identity. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
How to change your identity sounds like an autobiography of Gary Glitter. It would be something you'd have to do if you were trying to escape your former life. For example, wear a massive wig all of your existence, and then when things go a bit pear-shaped, take it off.
Linda challenged.
To existence. If it's your former existence and then existence.
Was it?
I think it was.
Can't say I heard that.
No,
I don't think I didn't hear that.
Yes, but you didn't hear me say swim twice, did you?
No, I did, but I didn't know which one of your faults to pick up on.
Linda, 43 seconds, how to change your identity starting now.
How to change your identity is quite easy. You come and live in an East Anglian village, somewhere like Swaffham or Swarfega or one of those totally made-up places, and you wouldn't really have to change your identity because no one will bother to try and find you because it's such a bloody long way.
Tony Challenge.
But it's not a long way if you live in Aldborough.
Oh, it is.
No, it's all relative, you know. Yeah. You're saying it's a long way. Oh, that's a very selfish, London-centric thing to say.
You didn't...
But if you lived in Aldborough, you probably wouldn't talk to people who lived here, so you wouldn't need to change your identity.
Nobody lives here. This is a
theatre. Darling, listen... there are 25 seconds available for you, Tony, on how to change your identity starting now.
I think a good way of changing your identity is to buy one of those little plastic clip-on moustaches that they sell in joke shops and then adopt a French accent and pretend to be Hercule Poirot. Hours of fun to be had there, and on a boring, rainy Sunday in Aldborough, that's how you could pass your time. Of course, you could travel to London...
Chris Challenge.
Is there a repetition of course?
There was. He did say of course before. Uh-huh. So, Tony, Chris, correct challenge, and you have 4 seconds to tell us something about how to change your identity starting now.
I am a master of disguise.
The end of that round, 1 point separates them all. Linda Smith's in the lead, 1 point behind is Bill Bailey, then Chris Neal, and then Tony Hawkes. And, Chris, your turn to begin. The subject is good manners. Tell us something about good manners in this game, starting now.
When in Suffolk, I believe it to be good manners not to make jokes about inbreeding. It seems rather silly in this county when there are so many lovely things to point out. Also seems particularly ridiculous when you realise that Norfolk is only next door. It is also good manners... Oh, probably...
You must admit the people in East Anglia can laugh against themselves, can't they?
They certainly can. And
they're lovely,
and I love them
people.
All.
Yes. Bill, you challenge first.
What?
Yes, you challenge.
Did I?
Yes. he came to a halt. Good manners, you challenge first, Bill. 42 seconds, starting now.
I absolutely love good manners. There's nothing more horrible than somebody on a train, for example, with a Walkman that is too loud and someone in the audience coughing very, very loud. Don't.
Tony, your challenge.
Well, you got tripped up by the old very, very again.
Yes.
They probably put me up. I was in the middle of the... Sorry, I banged the table.
I won't draw your attention, otherwise I'll say I'm patronising again.
I do apologise.
Right, that's right, don't apologise. Right, 28 seconds, Tony, with you. Good manners starting now.
It's not considered good manners to fart before the Queen. You have to let her do it first, so I'm told. Now, good manners is something that we're losing a little bit in this country. The British, we used to enjoy such a reputation around the world, but as Bill said, you do see some things that I don't think people should get away with. Mobile phones, too loud, on trains. This guy on one recently was making so many calls, it was just like being in his office. I wouldn't have minded, but he had me doing photocopying.
So, Tony Hawkes got points in that round. M1 for speaking as the whistle went and he slept forward. He's now trailing a little, but not so much as he was. Just behind Chris Neal and a point or two behind our leaders, Linda Smith and Bill Bailey. And, Linda, your turn to begin. The subject, shop assistants. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Shop assistants come in all types. Particularly ones I dislike are those snooty ones in posh department stores.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of ones.
The ones, yes, they come in, yes, yes.
Ones.
Well done, Tony. You've got 53 seconds. Tell us something about shop assistants, starting now.
I'm irritated by the shop assistants in white goods stores who tell you how brilliant the product is, sell it to you, and then try and sell you insurance.
Chris Challenge.
It's obviously struck a chord with them.
Yeah.
As a repetition of sell.
That's right, you sell it to you and then sort of sell insurance. 44 seconds with you, Chris. Shop assistants starting now.
I must come to their defence. My mother is a shop assistant. She works in Boots in Teddington, which is a very dull suburb of London. She's on her feet all day and I worry about the bunions and the varicose veins that it could ensue from this, and she don't get paid much. Honestly, she'd see... all.
Yes, Linda, what's your challenge?
I didn't mean your mum.
So what's your... what's your name? Why have you challenged?
Oh, there was something. What was it?
I just saw hesitate in a stumbling.
Yes, thank you, Chris. He hesitated.
I didn't actually hear him hesitate.
No, I didn't hesitate, actually.
You didn't, no. I did actually hesitate.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes. So, Chris, you've got another point and you've got 31 seconds. Still with you on shop assistance, starting now.
When I was about 18, I worked in the London store Liberty for two whole days.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of London.
Yes, you thought about London, yes.
Dull suburb.
It's a fascinating place.
I know. Except that Teddington was not a very nice part of London. So, 27 seconds available for you, Tony, on shop assistance starting now.
You feel like taking them by the throat and saying, if it's so useless, why did you make me buy it in the first place?
Linda challenged.
I think you said buy before.
Yes, you did say buy when you were talking before. Right, 18 seconds. Linda, shop assistants starting now.
Shop assistants with a superior attitude are quite annoying. You ask them, for example, oh, where are the gloves, please? And they look at you as if you've just asked Princess Michael of Kent to clean a toilet. I don't like that when I go into a shop. Some other shop assistants that annoy me are those very, very young.
Tony, yes, you were first in there.
It's a repetition of annoy, actually, before.
Yes, annoy as well, but the very, very came later. But you can't have 2 points, only one. And you've got only 1 second to go on shop assistance, starting now.
When I was on...
Oh, Bill, yes, Bill.
Repetition of when? Worth a try, wasn't it?
That's right, yes, you did say it before.
Yeah?
Right. So... You've got in there. Half a second on shop assistant starting now.
Well, oh.
Right, we're moving into the final round, I'm sad to say.
Oh, just pretending.
Linda, you are still in the lead as we go into the final round. You're 3 points ahead of Bill Bailey and Tony Hawkes are equal in second place and 4 points ahead of Chris Neal. It's a very close contest, if you're interested in contests. And whose turn is it to begin? Hmm?
Is there a prize?
Yes. You get to take me out to dinner afterwards.
Why was I trying
so
hard?
Up as well.
Right, Bill, our second time player of the game. It's your turn to begin, so you're going to take the last round, or start the last round, and the subject is hippies. Tell us something about hippies in this game, Starting now.
Hippies are people that are unfairly stereotyped as having long hair, beards, and a relaxed attitude to personal hygiene. This is absolutely not true. Also, some hippies have specially designed hands, like trowels, that they can dig under the ground and form tunnels under the floor. Some hippies have...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of under.
There were two unders. Under the ground, yes. Under, yes, there were. I should explain to our listeners, because the early laugh was because Bill actually has long hair and a beard. I have to. This is radio, you see. I have to explain these things, Bill.
Yes.
The audience laughed because they could see you. They're using their eyes.
Oh, right. Sorry, did it?
I hope that came over. He scratched his beard and then threw his hair all over the microphone. Tony, you have a correct challenge and you have 43 seconds. Tell us something about hippies starting now.
It's just occurred to me that I'm actually wearing a shirt that might be worn by hippies. But this being radio, Nicholas will have to describe that at the end of this round, which is something we'll all be looking forward to enormously. I was a hippie in the late 70s, which was a little bit on the...
Bill, you challenged.
Yes,
hesitation. Yes, I quite agree with you, Bill. Absolutely. 23 seconds. Let's hear more from you on hippies starting now.
Hippies will walk through fire to get to a face painting tent. They will also take great lengths to get to a juggling workshop, a stilt walking performance.
Linda challenged.
Oh, a bit of hesitation.
There was some hesitation, yes. All right. Linda, you have another point. You have 12 seconds. Hippies is with you now, starting now.
Hippies are usually gentle souls, but they can go bad, like Cat Stevens, for example, who left his hippie ways of kindness and musical settings to old hymns and started persecuting the...
Well, as I... said a short while ago, this was to be the last round. I'm afraid it is, and I'll give you the final situation. Chris Neal came only just in fourth place. He was a 1 or 2 points behind our equal second place, Bill Bailey and Tony Hawkes. But 4 points ahead of them was Linda Smith. So we say, Linda, you are our winner this week. It only remains for me to say... thank you to our four fine players of the game, Linda Smith, Chris Neal, Tony Hawkes and Bill Bailey. I also thank Claire Bartlett, who helped me keep the score, and she's blown her whistle so delicately. And we are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones, who tries to keep us in order. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this particular game. And we're very grateful to this lovely Suffolk audience here who have cheered us on our way with great aplomb and panache. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from our team, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute.
And that, of course, will be the same time next week, the last of the series, when Nicholas is joined by Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Clement...